Hello and welcome back to the Rogue Retro SmackDown Review.
Hello.
It's got me Clyde here, joined as always by my good friend and co-host Paul Brown.
Once again, hello.
And we're here, the 19th of October, I think it is, 2000 edition of SmackDown, the go-home show for No Mercy 2000.
I believe I was still in high school then.
Yes, you probably were. I'd maybe already only just started school at this point.
Maybe.
Actually, I would have been around about four.
No, you would have, because you were...
I would have been about four here.
Oh, fuck yeah, so you would have been.
Yes.
Yeah. You would have been a year away from school, because you're going to be five when you start school.
I'm sure I was four when I started school.
Oh, you advanced, were you?
Well, no, not exactly. I went to a certain nursery. I was made to do 2 years. I only did one, because I had separation issues, but that's the whole thing.
Oh, good, but you only done 2 years, or only done one for good behaviour.
Aye.
Yeah. You got time served.
I escaped at one point. I got some sort of bad girl. They just fell to the window. There's me in the fucking playgroundy bit, just running around on my own. Like, somehow I orchestrated an escape.
You're a spirited young scamp.
They brought me back like Steve McQueen, just throwing, like, go set a timeout. I've just thrown a ball against the wall.
Yeah.
Ah, what a reference. But yeah.
That's a great reference. That is a great fucking movie.
It is, isn't it? Yes. Talking of movies, Paul, this point in the year 2000 will be the same for when we do No Mercy.
I do enjoy your movies and whatnots.
November, number one movie in the UK is What Lies Beneath. I'm not familiar with this movie. I believe it's some sort of supernaturally horror movie.
I believe I am, and I believe it's no bad.
Mm-hmm. You believe it's no bad? Jeez, what a fucking review.
Well, I might have seen it. I don't know.
Who needs Buddy Siskel and Ebert when you've got Paul Brown,
aye,
movie expert?
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right. You'll watch it.
Yeah. Well,
aye, because I said so.
Also, in second week in a row, and it'll be in the next couple of weeks, number one in the US, Meet the Parents.
Ooh, I don't think I've seen that.
No? And that's the first of the three movies that they would make with
I believe I've seen parts of some of them. I haven't seen any of them in full. You know, that's mainly because as much as I like Ben Stiller, I don't like those movies.
I don't really blame you. I don't have an attachment to the movies, but, you know.
I like Ben Stiller when he's, you know, being funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Given we're going into No Mercy, the pay-per-view, I just had a quick double check there. We are just over a month away in the timeline from the release of No Mercy, the video game, on the day of No Mercy on N64.
Ooh.
I think it was available on other consoles, but it's most fondly remembered as a part of the N64.
Yeah, everyone remembered the N64. It was a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into the show, Paul, how are you? Anything you been up to that you want to talk to people about?
Oh, no, not a lot. I finally found a spot within my collection for that video you got me.
Yeah, the Halloween Havoc 98.
Mm-hmm. I found a spot for it in the collection. I went into my collection, you know, cupboard the other day, and I did a thing that I would assume a lot of collectors do on occasion. I stopped, and the lovely temperature-controlled cupboard I have my wrestling collection in, and I stopped, and I just enjoyed the fact of it. I also noticed that a couple of my tapes are a little misaligned, which I will have to I may have to go in there one day and spend a day in there watching wrestling on my phone and rearranging, because I was going down my list and I noticed I have SummerSlam 88, 89, and straight to 92. I went, that's not right, I have those.
Yeah.
And then I went down to where my doublers are, and that's when I noticed on the doubler shelf, I not only have SummerSlam 90 and 91, but I have WrestleMania 1, 2, and 3, which led me to realise I'm missing 4.
Well, you don't have 4 in your collection.
I don't have 4. So I not only do I need SummerSlam 95, I need WrestleMania 4. So that's two I need to get for my collection.
I would have always assumed that you had WrestleMania 4, because I think the whole thing, your thing was trying to get all the Manias and the SummerSlams from the 80s and 80s.
I thought I did, but apparently I do not have WrestleMania 4.
Interesting.
I must get WrestleMania 4, because then once I have it, I will have all.
Yeah, I think you have all the Manias going up to, like, what, 2000? Because you have 2000 as part of a doubler, don't you?
I have 2000, I have 2000, I have Mania 2000, and I have Mania 17, 18, 19.
Oh yeah, I forgot you had 19. There you go. So if you have, if you get 4, you may have all the Manias.
I have 20 on DVD.
So you'll have all the Manias up until 20.
One thing I would like to get from my collection, though, interestingly enough, I would like to find out, firstly, what was the last produced VHS by the WWE?
Yeah.
Because I would like to get that for my collection.
Yeah.
The very last produced VHS of, so I would assume at the time would have, in 2006, videos stopped getting made. I would assume by that point they were under Fremantle.
I think,
really still under Silver Vision at that point.
Well, I think, I remember like DVDs like from 04 onwards, like, they'd firmly, I think WWE firmly moved more so into the DVD category. Like, I had a bunch of DVDs from Silver Vision from 2004, and they were always advertising new upcoming releases from Silver Vision or WWE Home Video, wherever the fuck they were under at the time. Like, and that's why I'm surprised you have a VHS of Mania 19, because I would have thought by 2003 they would have switched heavily to from VHS to DVD.
No, because at the time, because VHS was still a viable product up until 2006, they were still doing available from Silver Vision on video, and it wasn't just DVD, it was video and.
Yeah.
So, for those of us who at the time may not have wanted DVD or just thought video was cooler, you had the option. You know, much like when they first introduced the sausage and bean baking Greggs.
Yeah, VHS and DVD, the whole, the transition of technology is exactly the same as Greggs introducing the sausage and bean baking.
See, when they first brought that out, didn't have any fucking cheese in it, it was just sausage and bean. And then they brought out that fucking sausage and bean and cheese thing because pricks had gotten for it with cheese. And then for the tiniest and briefest little moment in time, you had the option. You could have had the one with the stinking cheese in it, or you could have had the one that just had the sausage and bean like it was supposed to be. But then, all of a sudden, they got rid of the sausage and bean, you didn't have the fucking option. Just like in 2006, they got rid of VHS and you didn't have the option.
Yes.
Same fucking thing.
Alright, I didn't realize, they really said open this can of worms.
There is a correlation between pastries and VHS.
I'm just annoyed. I remember for a brief period of time when I'd go to Greg's when we were in college. When we'd go, I discovered this, I think it was the spicy, I think it was pepperoni chicken bake or some sort of spicy.
Yeah, spicy
thing.
Chicken bake thing.
I had like pepperoni or something of that line in it. And then they, when Greg's was doing the stuff with Iceland, you could get packets of the different things. And every so often you'd find one of them and I'd have them at home and they were... And then just as I get into, I find a new item other than the sausage roll, because I'm very basic when I go to Greg's.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I couldn't find it anymore. I don't even know if they still do them.
Yeah, I had a similar thing like that. My favourite roll-based thing in Greg's was a steak and cheese roll. I fucking loved that thing. Because we used Stilton in it, you see. We used Blue Stilton. It was a very strong cheese. But it worked great with the steak and these things, and I could have lived on those fucking things. And then they got rid of them. They took away my steak and cheese roll, they took away my pineapple cake, they took away my fucking strawberry cake. They stopped doing the fucking Cornish pasta like they used to do back in the day. They used to do a Cornish pasta and a bridie.
Oh yeah, they don't do bridies anymore.
No, they don't do bridies.
I prefer bridie to your traditional Scotch pie.
Utter cunts.
You have your real pie or Scotch pie, whatever. I prefer a bridie to a Scotch pie if I had the option. Bridie or a sausage roll over a pie.
You're talking savoury pastries like that?
Yeah, yeah.
My overall favourite, might surprise you, Cornish pasty.
Nice.
Because I used to go into town, and there used to be, and it used to be brilliant. Because you go into Central Station, and there was a Starbucks on that side, and a Cornish pasty company on that side, and you could buy this Cornish pasty. It cost you like £5 at the time. It was probably cost you like 10 spot now.
Yeah.
But it was like the size of your face, you know? So I would go over and buy this big-ass pasty, and a mocha frappuccino sometimes, because I like those. And this pasty, man, you could eat this thing, and I swear to fuck, you would not have to eat anything else the rest of the day. It was so filling. So that used to be my little thing. I'd go into town and buy a pasty and a coffee and a tan nut, and then I'd go drinking.
Yeah.
So it was good. You set yourself up with a nice, big, huge pasty the size of your face, and then you went drinking. So it was good shit, you know?
Yeah. Sorry if you're not familiar with what we do this more so in Scott and Paul's rather than the Retro Spine. I don't know if we've done this all year. Welcome to this all food corner discussion. I've got other things I want to say food related, so don't take this. Don't always take these as an indication on the quality of a SmackDown episode.
No, it's just what we do.
But you can merely take it for the episode we're going to talk about it when we get into it. But
you can set your watch on an offhanded ramble about nothing.
But let's talk about Greg's again for a second, because I got a lot of problems with you, Greg, and you're going to hear about it.
You get it off your chest, man. You get it off your chest.
They haven't really have changed. Like, I would have thought the introduction of pizza in a place like Greg's would have been a good thing. It was not.
Do you find the pizza a little bit coldest, minkin?
Greasiest shit I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Well, I must say, though, and this is mainly because Brian buys them a lot, but see where potato wedges?
I didn't know they did potato wedges. Why would Greg's need to do potato wedges?
I know, right? We do wedges, and these little savoury, cheesy nibble things are quite nice. Uh-huh. You know? That's like their little... That's in their section we do with, like pots of soup and things, you know? Yeah. It's nice.
Also, there used to be a thing that was called a Spiky Mikey, I think it was called.
A Spiky Mikey?
It was a biscuit in the shape of a star. It used to have white chocolate over it with some sprinkles.
I remember those.
It used to have a proper face, and then they had what they called a Spiky Mikey, but then changed it to regular chocolate, no face on it, and it wasn't the same.
Yeah, well...
It just wasn't the same.
They stopped doing the little pineapple cake. I liked the little pineapple cake and the strawberry tart as well.
Also, the pink jammies that they do, the pink icing cake with the jam inside it, they've done something to the icing on those things. It just doesn't taste the same. Yeah. The consistency of the pink jammy icing is not what it used to be.
See, I was never the biggest fan of the pink jammy. That was not my donut. I was always the fudgy donut.
Oh, it was one of my favourites.
I loved the fudgy donut. And the first time I had it, that triple chocolate donut we've got, what with the chocolate shavings all over it, my God, that's diabetes in a bun.
One of the best things I think they introduced is like the regular like sprinkled pink icing donut they've got there. I really like that, one of the newer introductions that they've made.
Do you know, if you're talking donuts though, do you know what my favouritest donut of all is? This simple glazed.
You're a simple man.
A simple glazed donut, because you know yourself, I'm a big fan of Yum Yums, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, Yum Yums are great.
But I just like a simple glazed donut. Seeing that with a good cup of coffee, one that you make yourself and not buy from Greg's because they don't know how to make a good cup of coffee. Sorry, Greg's, you don't.
Yes, if anyone here works for Greg's, I'm sorry. We always joke about trying to get sponsorship. I think we've kissed our Greg's sponsorship goodbye.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, your sausage rolls are second to none. I love Greg's sausage roll.
I can take it or leave it. I enjoyed them more when I was younger. Mm. You know? I like my favourite thing that Greg's do now, and I hope we do start doing them all year round, is the haggis pie. I fucking love that pie, so I do. And, you know, a regular pie is fine too. And I must say, for me, the best thing that Greg's do, see the Ploughman's cold sandwich?
Yeah.
That's a magic piece, that. So it is. It's a grand piece. Can he beat a Ploughman's? And they don't fuck it up. Like, see, when you go into like a supermarket or something, you buy those fucking packs of gourmet sandwiches that cost you like fucking £3.
Yeah.
Dear or sometimes, you know what I mean? But whenever you buy a packet of Ploughman's sandwiches, it's always got some kind of gunk in it, like fucking mayo or something. You're like, Ploughman's does not have fucking mayo in it. It has pickle and cheese. That is all. It does not have gunk. So why, when you spend fucking £3 or £3.50 on a pack of sandwiches, do you need to adulterate it and ruin it with gunk? Ooh.
I don't know.
It's not right. It's not right.
This will tie into food. This is a food thing. It'll tie into what I've been up to recently. The other week, it was my mum's birthday.
Were you making a sandwich?
It was my mum's birthday the other day. Monday just gone, we went out. Recently, we went out the Monday after our birthday. Everybody was on the phone. We went on the Monday.
Yeah.
And we were going to go to a place in Byron Road called Desserts.
Ooh.
And we said, oh, they don't open to 2. So we got there like 10 to 3. You know, we just about open school before schools have... The schools have been allowed, but hopefully they'll be quiet enough. closed. It was just closed. Like, there was nobody in there. There was no sign of anybody. It was closed. No explanation. You go on their website, as they say, it shows it going to open there. They'll say open on it when you go into Google.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. So I went around the corner, along about near Byers Road, at a place called Loop and Scoop.
Loop and Scoop.
Especially, like, they do, like, they have the license of ice cream, but they also have, like, they do variations of churros and everything with, like, you can get stuff ones with Nutella in the inside of them and all Biscoff and all sorts of things. And so, me and my mum sat in there. I got this thing where you, like, three different scoops of ice cream in the tub. It wasn't a massive tub, it was a sizable scoop. My mum got two scoops of this Nutella ice cream with this big, like, churro thing with chocolate over it and all stuff. She seemed to enjoy it. And I got three scoops of ice cream. The three scoops I chose were mint chocolate, which had these big chunks of mint chocolate through the mint ice cream, raspberry ripple, and I caught my eye as soon as I walked in, a scoop of Milky Bar ice cream.
Milky Bar ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
That brought your inner child out, didn't it? Milky Bar ice cream.
Let me just tell you, I had a Milky Bar the other day. because I know they've already started bringing Easter stuff out, which is good, because, like, there's some Milky Bar items I like getting. There's ones where, like, it's got bits of, like, Smarties or eggs things through it, but, like, it's a big bar. Or you can get basically the little mini eggs, white chocolate mini eggs things you can get.
Let's face it, Milky Bar really is the best white chocolate in the world. Yeah. It really is, bar none.
Undisputed.
Only the best is good enough.
Yes.
The Milky Bar kid is strong and tough. I remember the adverts from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I even remember the little jingle, but I'm not going to assault people's ears with that. I can't do it justice.
Yeah, it was a good day, and I like the ice cream, like, throwing into the bloody stuff. I've been going, like, I know I'll end up buying myself an Easter egg before Easter even gets here, just to look for some chocolate to have in the house. So I like to see what new stuff they bring out.
You just want to be a big kid and get an Easter egg, don't you?
Oh yeah, I'll get Easter eggs no matter what. But you got to get them, like, in a month before Easter, because by the time you get closer to Easter, like, oh shit, they're all gone now.
Yeah. I want to find some traditional style. Remember whenever you used to buy a big Easter egg, you used to get a cup all the time with it?
Yeah, I think you can with some, but I don't know.
Yeah, not with as many as you could, though, because I remember, like, the best fucking... Like, I always liked... I mean, awesome getting the milk, the egg, and the two chocolate bars and shit with it you used to get, but I always liked getting the cup, and I remember one year I got a crunchy Easter egg, and I got a crunchy cup with it, too. It was, like, my two favouritest cups as a child was my crunchy cup and my Hulk Hogan cup. Because I had one of those WWF Hulk Hogan cups as a kid. I think they're worth a bit of money now, but mine broke when I was a kid.
It's always like the Cadbury-esque, like, items that had, like, your mini egg, your cream egg kind of thing. Oh.
Damn it, I've disappointed myself. I want an Easter egg cup now. Damn it.
I can't help you there.
I know. Let me just be remorseful and... Wish I had my crunchy cup.
Also, I've seen the thing they brought out for Easter, orange mini eggs. Like, mini eggs, but also the taste of orange.
Yeah.
Which I was scared to go about, because I remember they tried to do a Smarty egg thing that was orange, and they were a great disappointment.
Yeah. Things like that usually are.
Yeah.
Do you know what one of my best Easter gifts ever were? My granny got me that. My granny, sadly long departed now, but she was awesome. She got me three videotapes of Young James Bond. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It was an animated thing. James Bond was a teenager, and he was all, like, fighting against the bad guys and Blofeld and Jaws and shit. My friend had some of the figures from the fucking series back in the day. You know, that was some like, next level shit. He had the figures from the fucking animated series, so, like... But he was cool as fuck. He had the fucking Ghostbusters firehouse and shit and everything. And the Egon, like, when if you squeezed his back, his hair went and jumped up and his eyes popped out and shit. It was cool. Most fun.
It.
And he had, like, fucking, like, every colour of Dalek you could get, and fucking, like, he had the red Dalek and the gold Dalek and the fucking, like, three different types of Predator. This guy had lots of cool shit, you know what I mean? So, yeah. He collected shit too.
Oh, nice. That concludes my contribution to food talk.
Yeah, so that was a little bonus for you retro review people, you know, a little bit of rambling.
Yeah. Let's go on to what's happening in the then WWF, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Well, we'll go back to my now wrong. What was recapped at the start of the show in a little video package where it had Rikishi, who was barred from entering the arena that Raw was being held because it was in Detroit. It was the same arena where they had the incident at Survivor Series, so they banned Rikishi from the arena.
He's up on the screen. He's like, "Yeah, I'm banned from the arena, but not banned from out here. I'm out here, Austin. Come on out here."
Yeah. So they had him in a hotel room with Jonathan Coachman giving an interview and everything. And fair play to the WWE's editing team who put that recap at the start of Raw together, because they made you briefly, if you hadn't watched Raw, you'd briefly think, wow, Rikishi cut a coherent and competent promo.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I watched the actual full segment on Raw, and Rikishi had very much a look and tone of, I'm trying to remember my next bit here.
Well, still looking mildly threatening.
And he did stumble once or twice here, so basically he keeps being aware that I got nowhere more fashion than Rocky, my people, they're happy with what I've done. Well, what about what The Rock said last week? Like, I think Rock's confused. Or secretly, I think Rocky's really, he's cool with what I've done. They're not just Rikishi, I'm The Rock's family. He does stumble through his line. And like, this is a pre-tape we put on the thing, so sometimes you can hear the live crowd if they're reacting to something, and midway through as he's talking, you can literally hear, boring. The segment is going on a bit.
Was at that point they knew he would never be a proper heel.
Yeah, it does, like, so, Mick Foley, Ben, no, he's trying to protect Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Just, you're talking about the booze in the crowd, yeah. You could just hear some random Scottish fan in the back going, dance, ya prick.
And then later on, Austin comes to the ring for an in-ring interview with Michael Cole. He's like, I feel mixed feelings about being here. I may be back in the ring after 10 months, but I'm pissed off because this is where it all happened. I'm feeling mixed emotions. Where it all happened. And I'm taking all this months of frustration. And the doctors tell me maybe I won't come back. I gotta take that into the biggest, most important ass whooping of my life. Rikishi trying to say that Mick Foley's protecting me from not letting him in the arena. There's the one son of a bitch that don't need protection. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. And like, what are you gonna do to Rikishi? Which is a stupid question from Cole. He goes like, what am I gonna do? It's easier to tell you what I'm not gonna do to him. I'm not gonna arm drag him. I'm not gonna drag him. There ain't gonna be no wrestling, man. I'm gonna get him down the ground. I'm gonna stomp a mud hole and keep on stomping. And like, how can you stomp a mud hole, Stone Cold, and a man whose ass is that big? Well, if anybody can do it, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then Kishi appears on the show, on the 20th round. She said like, hey, you remember this? This is where it all happened.
Yeah.
I may be banned from the arena, but I ain't banned from the parking lot.
I'm out here.
Come finish this. And Austin runs out to him. He just yells at some random attendant like, where the hell is Rikishi? Like, I haven't seen him.
And then all of a sudden,
a big car speeds out and Austin dives into the back of a fucking lorry that's nearby. And you're like, Austin, this Sunday, no mercy. And speed out like, oh my God, this Rikishi got a death wish. He tried to run over Austin again. Oh, that was amazing.
Oh my God.
You forgive me for thinking that Rikishi versus Austin's the real main event of No Mercy.
I'm sure it was the initial idea before they realised, yeah, we need more.
So, I'll be a brief recap of like two other main stories, which is Triple H, Benoit, and The Rock angle, because they kind of weave into each other.
Yeah.
You know how people talk about like the treatment of Chris Jericho in the lead up to his match with Triple H? Like, he got aligned himself with Stephanie, but kind of made to look like the third wheel. Like, there was a segment in the lead up where Stephanie makes him walk her dog for her, or kind of seemed like a background player. Well, Stephanie almost did the same to Kurt Angle, because Kurt Angle greets Stephanie around the arena, and she goes, hey, Kurt, get my bag. Like, oh, don't worry, I'll get your bag. And she's like, damn right you will.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, here's the number one contender for the WWE title. Man's gonna beat The Rock. What's he doing? He's carrying Stephanie McMahon's bags.
Yeah, that's what he does.
And she has a conversation with Triple H. Like, I thought we discussed this. Like, she again, him not wanting her to be with Angle.
Yeah,
well, I said I would stop. Yeah, we discussed me not being with Kurt. We said I'd only consider that if you'd reconsider me being in your corner, which you haven't done. So I'm going to continue being in Kurt Angle's corner. And then later on, Triple H comes in while Angle and Stephanie are talking. And he goes, you need to give us a minute. And then there goes, Hunter, anything you want to say, you can say in front of Kurt. I wasn't talking to Kurt. And then Stephanie leaves. And basically somebody says, like, anything happens to Stephanie, it's your ass. Like, her safety is your responsibility. Later on in the night, Kane fights Triple H. Kane gets an early finish because Triple H is dreaded when Benoit comes down to the ring to for the distraction. And he goes around and joins commentary. He goes, "I'm just here to observe." And Kane in that brawl around ringside, Kane gets a big old fucking girlfriend. Like, Kane looks like a really good against Triple H in this match. Which means it's like, why are you not doing anything with Kane at the minute? I mean, they're going to give him a feud going into Survivor Series, which will carry on to the end of the year, but just at this point, from since Unforgiven, he's not been doing anything. And I think about Kane, like, it's amazing how he can go. He went through so quite a few periods along his multi-year career where he was just doing nothing.
Yeah.
A guy like Kane just doing nothing.
Well, he did have that extended title run when he was bald.
Yeah, yeah.
He had that, at least.
Yeah, all the way, had to wait all the way till 2010.
To get it.
Yeah.
But it lasted, like, what was it, nearly a year?
No, not that long. It went from July, I want to say, between July up until, like, December. He lost it at TLC.
So nearly a year.
Well, maybe
July to December?
Months. Yeah, but five, 6 months.
He had it for a good enough amount of time to call it a reign.
Yeah, it's definitely, you can call it an extended reign.
I mean, it's better than one evening, isn't it?
Yeah. It does. We come backstage during the match, Stephanie's like, she's worried about Triple. He's like, "I just know Benoit's going to try and get involved." And Kurt's like, "Oh, I'm sure he's fine." And then Benoit's like, "I don't know what she's talking about. I'm just, like I said, I'm here to observe." And then the point where they spill it to the outside, and then Triple H just dives over commentary, but he doesn't go over and dive at Benoit. No, he decides to go right in the opposite corner of it and just dive diagonally across the table to catch Benoit. It takes him out. And then he sends Kane into the post, and then Benoit attacks Triple H with the chair, and then grabs about right back and hits him with two Germans randomly, and then locks him in the crossface as referees try and pull him off. Later on, Stephanie McMahon is getting Kurt ready for his match. He's like, "Kurt, come on!" And like, he's getting his dress to be pulling his shirt, and she's trying to hang him. I'm like, "Come on, you gotta be focused. You gotta fight in the right. You're gonna be the next WWF champion." And then she brings him out on stage on the ramp before his tag match. The main event of Raw was Edge, Christian, and Angle were the Hardys and The Rock. And he's very like, "We're just the man who will be the next WWE champion. The man who is the special guest host of Sunday Night Heat this Sunday. And we'll have an exclusive interview with The Rock." And they're like, and they're going to be like, "What?" As if it's news to them. And here's just Kurt Angle. And Kurt, you know, people are focusing on the fact that this is the arena where Stone Cold Steve Austin was run over. But they should be focusing on the fact this is the arena where your Olympic hero made his World Wrestling Federation debut. And then after I beat The Rock, in the span of all my first 12 months, I have held the European Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, the King of the Ring, and the World Wrestling Federation title in my first calendar year. And like, every so often he mentions, like, who else could accomplish all those things? Other than maybe Triple H, but not as good as me. I think so. It does make him a triple crown becoming champion. He wouldn't get a chance to be a Grand Slam adding the tag team titles all the way in 2002.
Wow.
When it was he and Benoit who would become the inaugural SmackDown tag champs or the WWE tag team championship. Mm-hmm.
They hadn't gotten to the whole SmackDown Raw thing.
Yeah, they were on SmackDown, but they were called the WWE tag team titles, which ironically the lineage of them would carry over into what would become. And the second brand split, the Raw Tag Team titles. The whole thing.
So who were the, I would assume at the time, the world champions at the time?
What, when Angle and that won the...
Yeah, when they won the SmackDown ones.
I think over on Raw, it was like I think it was around the time the Un-Americans were holding the belts.
That would have been Christian and
Lance Storm, and then I think they lost them. Then by some point, by the end, I just remember by the end of the year, it's like Christian and Jericho, who then dropped them to like Booker T and Goldust, who'd been chasing them for
ages. And then we tried to replicate that years later with R-Truth and Goldust, and that went
so
well. Mm. Well, it went well once Goldust hit him.
Mm-hmm. And then basically, like, Angle then brings up again the stuff with Rikishi, how convenient it is the Rock's keys happen to go missing, and the Rock's bike key just so happens to pick them up and run over Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Rock says he has nothing to do with it. I think the Rock's making excuses. Well, you won't have any excuses this Sunday when I defeat him for the World Wrestling Federation title. And the Rock, tonight is going to be the beginning of your losing streak, which is going to continue into No Mercy. And that, my friends, is true. And then I'll see
you. Damn true.
And then the match starts with the Rock grabbing Angle from the apron and just throws him into the match. the title. You have Edge and Christian. Rock Angle gets back out again. Edge and Christian are illegal, but then Angle comes in when he's breaking up a pin.
Yeah.
Rock gets worked over a bit before he tags into Jeff Hardy, who can run wild. He and Matt hit poetry in motion. Matt gets tied in, then he gets launched. He launches Edge into Christian, knocking off the apron. But then he gets worked over as he often does in Hardy's tag team matches. Before the Rock could finally come back in, get another hot tag. Lita comes in at one point to drop kick Christian off the top rope when behind the referee's back. And then randomly she gets dragged out by Angle, and then Stephanie just attacks her. And like, and Ken goes, "Oh, she hasn't forgotten. Remember, Stephanie was the World Wrestling Federation Women's Champion to her."
Yes, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Would she defend it like once?
Twice, maybe.
Ugh.
Once, twice, three times a champion. Rock hits a Rock Bomb on Angle. The referee's distracted. Edge Christian sends the Rock out of the ring. Stephanie randomly has a tire iron. Hits Jeff Hardy with it. Erlang is angry at him with Angle Slam. Raw ends with Angle Slam. We're like, oh, he did it. And then they go, and he's made to say, like, oh, Triple H didn't want Stephanie in his corner. But look how much she's doing for Angle. If she gets involved Sunday, will the Angle become the World Wrestling Federation champion? Who knows?
Who knows?
And now, into SmackDown. Confusing intro and all.
Hey, it was a good intro. Yeah, everyone loved that.
And anyway, commentary run down the card for later on. We'll get to the matches they run down later on, but I forgot I made this note. Recap of what happened with Rikishi and Austin. Commentary runs down the card as the ring is full of men.
Yeah.
The ring is full of men.
Oh yeah, that tag team battle royal, which was...
Yeah, tag team battle royal, none of the tag teams get an entrance as Mick Foley comes down to the ring. And you know, the last few weeks has been a very difficult time for me as WWE commissioner. I want to thank one person that helped me through this, a real friend, Jerry the King Lawler. Jerry Lawler's kind of smuggled. Oh, me?
I'm getting praise.
Even though the King's done nothing but slag and question the authority of Mick Foley doing this whole thing with Austin and Rikishi. And he basically explains that the winners of this match will fight the Hardys at No Mercy. And then he has to explain just the rules of a tag team battle, which the rules that they use here, I have never agreed with it. If one member of the tag team is eliminated, that means the other, both members are eliminated. So imagine you're there, you get to throw somebody out, you get tapped on the shoulder for the referee, or your partner got thrown out, you need to, awkwardly, step out of the ring.
Oh, I was just annoyed that Lowdown didn't win.
Mm. Oh, speaking of Lowdown, buddy, Tiger Ali Singh is in the crowd.
I know, right?
Who will later align himself with Lowdown. The thing is, he's just sitting there looking all messy.
Tiger Ali Singh.
Looking at the face of a man whose push has definitely not went the way he was promised.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with Tiger Ali Singh, he sits there during the match. I think, it's foreshadowing what happens with Lowdown. I noticed this for some of my earlier matches, even into the main event. He's still there.
Yeah.
He stays there the whole night. Usually, if someone's watching the crowd, they leave after their bit. No, he just stays there like, how much made from page? What am I doing? You sit in the crowd and watch the show. I could have done that from home. Like, no, you sit. It's very important you stay there for the entire show. Or, I like to think this is the case, go out there and sit during the tag team battle. Or one of the guys will come and get you when your bit's done. And somebody forgot to come and get him.
Yeah.
I like to think that's the case.
They mentioned him during the tag team battle royal.
Uh-huh.
Then they didn't mention him again.
No.
Really selling that point that he was going to be involved in something.
Yeah. My main notes here are for the eliminations, because really nothing much happens. And battle royals are mostly just people dangling out or being eliminated up until the final few people, because that's when real shit happens at a battle royal.
Real shit didn't happen. If real shit is, I mean, there was how many referees during that thing?
Most two or three, maybe.
Two or three. Did we need all three of them to break up a brawl that had nothing to do with the fucking battle royal? They could have just let them beat themselves up that ramp.
Hmm.
They didn't need to get involved.
Hmm.
They didn't need to fucking ignore the fact that Bubba threw one either Edge or Christian out. I'm not sure which one it was.
Yeah. Commentators don't seem to know either.
Yeah, fucking conquistadors.
Conquistadors.
Do you know what, I'll be honest with you, the reason I get so annoyed about it is that, quite frankly, I hated Edge and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Brood Edge and Christian, but I hated Edge and Christian. They were such bellends.
Mm-hmm.
And More than likely, I'm probably right when I say this, they get the match at No Mercy, and they most likely beat Matt and Jeff at No Mercy. Most likely. Because that's just the way that it was at the time. It was the style at the time.
Yeah, I do look like on Raw, JR just starts accusing them of being Edge and Christian in general. Like, you have no evidence of this. Like, so, like, both time, both on Raw and SmackDown, they've had Edge and Christian seemingly work double duty in that both has conquistadors and as themselves to try and prove that they're not conquistadors.
That, like, when Owen Hart got Coco Beware to dress up as a blue blazer, so it's not me.
See, it's the exact same guy. It's not been me. Like, really? That guy who's clearly white all those times is suddenly a black man?
Yes.
And then suddenly not a black man anymore?
Yeah, well, he's a blue blazer. He's magic.
He's like the Doctor. He regenerates in different forms.
Yeah, yeah. He's Michael Jackson. He was black once.
No, and then, like, even though it's a point where Lawler has to be the sensible one and point out continuity in Michael Cole, when he's like, oh, well, if that's not Edge and Christian, why aren't Edge and Christian in this match? Like, well, because if they won, they'd have to face the Hardys, and they're not allowed to face the Hardys because they lost that match.
Yeah.
So said they can't challenge the Hardys while they're champions.
Come on, get with the script, Michael.
God, Michael, do you even watch wrestling? God. Professional. When Darryl Lawler's having to correct you, you know you fucked up, man.
Yeah. You mean Waller was able to take his mind off the puppies for more than 2 seconds?
Well, yeah, because TNA went out very early on, so Trish wasn't around to distract him.
Ah.
As I even said, TNA are out first as Farouk eliminates Death. But then TNA dragged Farouk out of the ring to attack him.
And Bradshaw jumped out over the rope to help.
So TNA, APA were still in the match, even though Farouk was dragged under. Here's my exact note here. They drag out Farouk, working him over. Bradshaw eliminates himself. Brackets, like a twat.
He's like a twat. He could have went through the fucking rope, but no. At that point, I assume that the Acolytes or APA had been 3-time champs by that point.
No, they've been 2-time champs. They'll have one more reign in 2001.
Oh, one more reign in
2001. They're 2-time champions at this point.
Right.
Both of those reigns were very short, though.
How long was their third one?
Long enough that they held it into around about invasion time.
Oh, that's cool.
But mind you, 2001, as we'll see when they get the invasion, belts are swapping.
Yeah, like fucking sweeties.
Like, you could go from pay-per-view to pay-per-view, and in between you could have had at least 2 title changes on TV.
Yeah.
At that point.
So they were starting to swap titles the way WCW didn't end up.
Well, yeah, but it's one thing to do it with your Intercontinental or your tag team, it's another thing to do with WCW did with the world title.
Yeah. Yeah, they gave that to Vince Russo.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Russo gave that to Vince Russo.
Mm-hmm. What did you get me, Vince Russo? I give you this. Ah, you shouldn't have. You really, really shouldn't have. Yeah. Now it's actually died at the good father, which ends up eliminating the both of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Round up, but Scotty's still in there. He's doing his warm one of the conquistadors, but then gets thrown out before he can finish it.
Yeah.
Again, the brawl on the outside, which means they'll miss the fact that it's down to the conquistadors and Bubba and...
I question the continuity here. You do not need all of the referees to watch a couple of dickheads who weren't going to win it anyway fighting up the ramp. Let them fight. Pay attention. Or one of you do that and the other one pay attention to the fact the Dudleys threw those dicks out the ring. No. Mm-hmm. No, ignore that.
Yeah.
And those stupid fucks win the match.
It's the Rumble 97 logic with allowed Stone Cold to win.
It's okay in the Rumble 97 because at least the guy that won that was likable.
Anyway. Yeah, so I think it's Bubba throws one of them. I don't know which one it is, and the commentators don't know either. I know that Edge is Uno and Christian is Dos, but they never really want to tell who's Uno and who's Dos, so it doesn't matter.
Well, that would mean Edge is the tall one.
Yeah, well, Edge is taller, but like they still can't figure it out. And they throw Uno, I'll say, out, and then they grab Dos, they hit him with a WhatsApp, and they whip him through a table. So while Demon's trying to get in that, the other conquistador comes back in, and then Bubba gets, like, I think he gets caught up a bit in the ropes as he goes out as well. Which means,
he does.
And by the time Demon notices, he's already hit the floor, which is... And then the conquistadors are celebrating.
I wasn't.
Mm.
And then, of course, I think not long after it, we get that stupid segment with the conquistadors and Edge and Christian.
Mm-hmm. I think we get to that later on. I don't know if I've... Oh, yeah, here it is. But Before that, we have Stephanie and Triple H arriving. They have Big Limo because they keep cutting to the parking lot saying that...
They're putting a lot of focus on this parking lot through the whole show.
Because I think they think that Rikishi might show up and everything because they announced that JR will do an interview with... JR's going to talk to Stone Cold. Stone Cold's hoping that Rikishi shows up so he can get revenge on him for what happened on Raw.
Yeah.
So, anyway. But they also tease that there's a Four Corners match and between The Rock, Rock, Triple H, Benoit, and Angle. Not title, just a random four-way match or a four corners. Between a four-way and a four corners is it's a four-way match, but you had to tag in a four corners.
Aye. So it's a tag match, but it's not a tag match.
But technically, every man for himself. Yeah. Like basically, this screen the beginning of this screams we wanted to do a tag team match on the Go Home show, but we accidentally booked one a week before that. So now we have to do something. It's like a tag match, but not a tag match.
Aye.
It's like the buddy. Difficult defense class in Y Python. Now the passion fruit. We've done the passion fruit.
Now a tag team match. We've done a tag match. And a mixed tag match. And a six man tag match. Alright then. Final four way.
Yeah.
We haven't done that, have we? What? Right! Final four way.
What if one of the other guys in the final four way's got a pointed stick? Yeah. Frozen Rikishi had a pointed stick.
Shut up.
Right. They arrive to the arena and they're talking, and then it cuts to commercial and then comes back from commercial where they're yelling at Earl Hebner, who's just informed them that they have the Four Corners actually. And like, I have a match with Benoit this Sunday, I can't even a Four Corners match, like, and she's like, and Kurt Angle is challenging for the WWE title in trouble because they're like, yeah, that's not important. Not a feel good guy yet, Triple H. Then the conquistadors are there. I'll wait till No Mercy to do this because I have info about they'll do a couple of different segments between here and No Mercy. They'll have other people as stand ins, and I'll have information when we do the No Mercy review about who the stand ins were when it wasn't Edge and Christian. But yeah, then Edge and Christian go up like, wow, it was so awesome. We're big fans of you guys. Like, we would love when you guys totally defeat the Hardys to have the first title shot against you. Yeah. All right, we gotta go. We got a match. And then Big Old Crowd, they're like, well, the guys were awfully sweaty and out of breath sounding when they were congratulating the conquistadors. But who cares about all that? The hardcore title is on the line.
Yay! Good match.
Because yeah. We got Steve Blackman versus Taz.
Yeah.
Taz dodges the kick of the match. He's at a clothesline on Blackman. They very quickly go to the outside for her. I think it's Taz gets first on the barricade and then gets smacked in the back of the head with a bin lid.
Yep. Gave him a good smack too.
It does seem to be a thing with these hardcore matches where they have basically it's almost a stopwatch, like how quickly between bell ringing and them in the crowd to the backstage area.
Totally.
Because it's because obviously the whole falls count anywhere.
When it went backstage, we got to see just Joe. Yeah. Get smacked.
Yes, and everyone was happy with that.
Yeah, was it Blackman that smacked him, or was it Taz?
I don't know, but Finaki was there as well.
I know, right? Randomly trying to pin Blackman.
Mm-hmm. I just put here, they brought to the back where they beat up Finaki and just Joe.
Yeah.
And then randomly, just if you're going to work your way to the back, finish in the back. Don't do what these guys did, where you work your way to the back and then come back out again.
Yeah.
Pretty sure somebody got slammed on the table and had a bunch of stuff on. I think it may have been just Joe.
Yeah, that was just Joe.
They come back to the outside. Taz seems a bit more in control. There's a drop toe hold onto a street sign at one point. And then I do love Taz does lock in the Taz mission with using the kendo stick.
Yeah.
Blackman tried to grab weapon and hit to get him away. Like, no, get away, gotta go.
I liked the bit when Blackman actually did something that's very unusual for him.
Mm-hmm.
He hyped the crowd.
Yeah.
He got his kendo sticks and he's like, oh, right then.
Don't you fancy see me batter him with a stick? Like, yes. Do you have a pointed stick, Steve Blackman?
No, I've got a kendo stick.
What about a... Do you have a banana?
Shut up! And then he proceeds to do his hitty, 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 hit, kick. Yeah. Yeah. Spinny kick, hitty, hit. Spinny kick, hit.
Yes. With a stick.
It's called the Blackman sequence. And the, sequence.
Yes. It's easy for you to
say. No, it's not.
Seashell, seashell, by the seashore of the Blackman sticks.
Tap.
And then Blackman, his new weird finisher, not the big bicycle kid that he does, just the thing you say to school, ah, what's worse than hitting someone with the with the candlestick, which is a mirror, and then go, hiya, with the candlestick, and dive off the top of my head with a stick.
Yeah.
And that seems to be enough to put Taz away, and Blackman's reign as Dominus as hardcore champion continues.
Yeah. Blackman ruled.
You see how we're kind of speeding through this a little bit? There wasn't a lot going on.
Blackman really should have held a better title than that. He should have been at least an IC champ.
Well, spoiler alert, Blackman's not on No Mercy for one. He will be a Survivor Series in a Survivor Series match.
Did he ever win a tag match? A tag title?
I don't think so.
Damn it, man. They done him dirty.
Yes, they did.
He could have been a champ. He could have been world champ.
We go backstage to Triple H and Stephanie. They enter Mick Foley's office, or his cupboard, more accurately.
Yeah, his cupboard.
And they're angry about it, and then Angle comes in like... he goes, you know, Foley, this is absolutely ridiculous. Like, shut up, Curtis, is what Foley says. Like, and they're like, this is absolutely unnecessary. You need to cancel this. And then Angle goes, yeah, you need to cancel this. And so they're like, shut up, Curtis. So they both take turns telling Curtis, shut up.
Like, shush, again, people are talking.
Again, number one contender for The Rock right here, being told to shut up by...
Aye, number one contender, but know your place.
Aye, like, yeah, know your place. I'm Triple H. I will run this place one day.
Yes, he will.
And like, listen, I talked to The Rock and Benoit, and they're not happy about it either. It's not my job to make you happy. It's my job to make the fans happy. You know what? I thought this match would have made it happen. So the match is going, and my decision is final.
Because it's not a tag match.
Yes. It's like a tag match.
But it's not. No.
Dude, we should wrestle like it is a tag match. Though it isn't.
Decision's final. No a tag match.
Let me talk to you what happened to Eddie Guerrero, because I think Eddie may have done himself a bit of an injury here.
Yeah, on his little crutches and things.
Because, like, the opening match Raw wasn't, you'd be shocked to know, wasn't a promo that goes on for ages. It says...
Oh, really?
Well, not necessarily. Like, it starts off with what's meant to be an IC title between Eddie Guerrero and Chris Jericho. Eddie does got a bit of a brief promo to start off with. He goes, you know, I know just how all the ladies out there want to, like, all these girls are after me, from the hoes to Mama Sita to Playboy cover people. And he's like, you know what, China? You didn't walk out on me. I walked out on you. I don't know if actually that's from Raw or SmackDown, but both promos seem the same. Like, I get tired of your crying. And you're complaining, like, oh,
it's from
Eddie.
SmackDown, but I assume it's the same.
Well, he pretty much says the same thing here. Yeah. Like, you know what? I kid you out of my life. And you know what? Billy Gunn. He basically warned Billy Gunn and Chris Jericho, what's going on? When they crossed me, as Lip fans trilogy chant, Eddie sucks. Eddie sucks. And then Jericho comes and goes, will you please shut the hell up? Like, this is the first time in a long time Raw isn't opening with a 20-minute boring promo. People don't want to hear you talk. They want to see us fight. And so the match starts very quickly. Until, like, there's a bit where, like, Eddie's, like, launched over. And I think he light lands, maybe might hits part of the rope or whatever. And then he gets up. He looks a bit wrong. And the match, suddenly he's just down. And the referee, like, does the whole X thing. Yeah. He calls, and that just ends abruptly. I briefly thought, like, Eddie's, like, oh, Eddie's down. Like, oh, Eddie's working on, like, he's faking. And then he's going to be... Like the time where he faked being sick to get out of a match with Rikishi.
Mm.
But no, like, they make you think of it like, oh, even DR, like, oh, maybe Eddie's playing a bit of mind games here, King.
Mm.
And then X-Bot comes in and attacks Jericho, and then Billy Gunn saves him. All the while, the stuff between X-Bot, Billy Gunn, and...
Road Dog.
Jericho.
Oh, right.
Jericho's all happening. Eddie's on the outside. The camera's making sure not to show Eddie. So if the camera's not showing him, then it's not
that
a work.
That means he's hurt.
Like, later on... X-Bot just randomly challenges Billy Gunn to a match, and Billy Gunn comes out in street clothes, like, what the hell are you doing? And Eddie on his crutches, like, cause they plan the spot out, but he's on his crutches, so he's legit hurt, hits Billy in the back of the head with the icy tail and buggers off. But Billy Gunn, if I'm going to take this out, I'm going to really take it. He gets hit in the back and properly dramatic rolls almost all the way down the ramp. Just, oh, dear, I'm falling. Until X-Bot kind of just starts battering him in his street clothes, until Jericho comes in to attack him.
Nah.
X-Bot, he kicks a face in the X-Bot's face, and then does a dive on the outside, which takes out two referees at the same time.
Wow.
So, that takes us to Eddie here on his crutches, as we said.
Yeah, who basically cuts the same promo.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, he goes on about, like, oh, Billy, get your ass out here.
Like, the thing is... They even have Billy Gunn go march backstage and demand to fight Eddie Guerrero, which I'm sure was pre-taped.
Yeah.
And they'd say, oh yeah, fine, you can have Eddie at No Mercy. So the plan was badass Billy Gunn versus Eddie Guerrero at No Mercy for the IC title. Spoiler alert, that's not happening.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Is that because Eddie's actually hurt?
It seems like Eddie's hurt, yeah. And he's not put on her. It will be, instead, set up for the segment, it'll be a tag team match pitting the RTC versus China and Billy.
Ah.
Which will play a part in Billy going transitioning from badass to, or Mr. Ass to the one Billy Gunn, but we'll get to that.
Ah.
My daddy's always talking about how, China cry, you're probably about to cry, but how you miss me, everything. And then he warns what he's going to do with Billy Gunn, you know. I'm still on one leg, I'm going to kick your ass. And then China comes and he calls him out, he just said, but then China is what comes out into. And then he looks a bit shaken, like, oh, Jesus.
Like, oh, fuck. And then she comes in and she's like, as you can see, I haven't been crying, Eddie.
I've been thinking about how much I miss you. I've been thinking about all the things I was going to do to you when I got my hands on you. And this promo was quickly cut short. Because you can also tell that Eddie's thing has not worked. Because Eddie, just as soon as the RTC comes out, like, Eddie, other than a brief bit, just kind of just shuffles off to the side.
Apart from getting slapped in the mush by China as well, she gives him a hell of a slap.
Yeah, but as soon as the RTC comes out, Eddie kind of shifts to the side, like, okay, Eddie, we're going to plan B. Now you stand over there, you and your sore leg. Then RTC, because RTC had made a thing about China a couple of weeks ago. That
yeah, about like, our Playboy
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, also a bit ahead of that. They'd been, because you think you knew it's inevitable given the gimmick and everything. And so briefly when Eddie and China were together, it was they two versus RTC, but now, also Eddie's left her. But they come back and like, you know, they talk about the difference, you know, our actions have consequences. For every action, there's an equal reaction. See, your actions, you chose to expose yourself in this magazine. Therefore, you have forced us to react. Since you did not choose to pull this, they did not choose to pull this issue, and it is out there for others to see. You have forced us to react. And basically, this reaction is them attacking China for how dare you go and be in Playboy, how dare you?
How dare you hold yourself out for a magazine?
Aye. Until Eddie Gunn tries to make a save, the number game all wells on China wants to get involved, but then Eddie comes in and just puts his crutch across her bloody throat.
Because he's a bad man.
Oh, you very bad man. Oh, you, Eddie.
Yeah, bastard.
So yeah, that's setting up the only thing they announced here, but it will be a tag team match at the pay-per-view. Then they come back to that same parking lot. Austin's pickup truck comes right into the parking lot as he's here to talk to JR, and he's hoping that Rikishi shows up. And then tournament title matches, we had, you know, while it was a decent run, William Regal has now officially become European champion, and I think things are now right.
Yes.
Him as European champion, and as much as William Regal we can get on TV, the better, in my opinion. But
yes,
Al comes out for his thing saying comes out representing the UK for his match against Vigo. He comes out in a big bowler hat and a suit, and he matches on Raw. He goes, "What good? I say, just what does everyone want? Indubitably, what does everybody need? Oh, jolly good."
Doing his best Frasier impression.
Yes.
He loses the title, and then he's like, "I'm wounded."
He's got a frame picture of William Regal as part of his side. Eventually. Eventually he does manage to quickly beat him with a Regal knee, and then, well, I guess his knee's up when he goes for the insult, and then he allows him the Regal stretch, and then there's this thing where he picks up the title, goes to the crowd, bits out while he's in, continues waving at the crowd. Johnny, you bloody swine. Hello, yes, I'm William. I'm English, don't you know?
I'm Mr. Regal.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello there.
Hello. And now Mr. William Regal, and I've just beat this thing.
The swine. Yeah.
Yes, he sounds like Alan from Frasier.
Yeah. Al? Excuse me, Al, laces.
Al, come on. Title, please.
Oh no, more if you want to be more accurate to Alan when he has David as assistant, you'd think you'd go to 2001 where he had Tajiri as his assistant. Tajiri, laces. So we have now, that turns it into a triple threat match for the European Championship. William Regal versus Al Snow.
Versus Perry Saturn, yes. with his tits with him. Oh, also known as sorry, Terry.
Yes. Al's back to just being regular Al Snow, honestly.
Yeah, he's back to regular Al Snow with head. Perry Saturn still doesn't have Lamotte because he hasn't brutalized that jobber yet.
No.
How far away is he from doing that?
But summer 2001, maybe.
That's when he brutally...
That's when he gets the moppy thing, yeah.
What was the name of the guy he assaulted?
Mike Bell.
Mike Bell. He broke him, didn't he?
Well, not broke him, but he dropped the guy in his fucking head.
Well, I mean, he viciously, stiffly beat him, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the guy made a teeny mistake in the match.
Yeah, and then, like, he threw him out to the outside and Bell, like, nearly lands on his head on the spill.
I've seen it, though. When the guy takes the funny spill, Saturn doesn't slow down. He just loists him off the ground and proceeds to beat the living shit out of him, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, it's like a singles match version of the Acolytes versus Public Enemy.
Pretty much.
You know.
Pretty much. I honestly forgot about Paris. I can't remember the last time we saw him on TV. Like, I remember he was Unforgiven, that random like six-way match for the Hardcore title, but I don't
remember
think...
he had the European belt for a while.
Yeah, and did fuck all with it.
Defended it a few times.
Yeah, a few times. Not enough, though. And the focus was always fucking Terry as well.
Yeah, I know. It was always tits.
Al goes right after William Regal, then. Up here, Perry immediately nearly dies with a moonsault.
Oh, God, man. No fucking moonsault. He nearly broke his own head.
I know.
I've seen that. Like, I didn't even have to see the replay of that one. I've seen it happen. I was like... You know, like... And I looked at it in the replay for one reason. I was like, was it in any way Al's fault? Yeah. And I went, nah, that was Perry's fault if I'm not rotating enough.
Yeah, he didn't get enough rotation on that one.
He kind of jumped over and kind of turned himself head down and then fell.
Yeah. And, like, it's weird because, like, at this time, they've because of the PTC, they've tried to avoid, like, moves that involve someone landing on their head. So Taz has been told not to do as many suplexes because a lot of them look like different ways to drop someone on their head. Taker is the bait, American Bass transition from the tombstone to the last ride. And also, Perry Saturn used to mainly do a brainbuster, but he's transitioned to the top rope elbow drop as his finisher.
Yeah.
So, Perry, you're not allowed to drop people on their heads. Doesn't mean you can do on your own move, drop yourself on your own head.
Yeah.
Is what someone should have taken aside and told him.
Yeah.
Saturn, Regal takes Saturn back in the ring, like, oh, don't worry, old chap, you bloody idiot. Some way forwards. A lot of this is like Saturn and Al trying to kill each other, trying to get to Regal, and Regal kind of finds a way to escape with this championship.
Yeah, because I mean, we get to the end of the match. Let's just say it's what you expect from a European title match at the time. Yeah,
very fast paced. I mean, I'll mention it later on because it's set up on the heat before it. But Regal does defend the title at No Mercy, and honestly, when I remember who he defends it against, I'm like, I would much rather have had this triple threat match at the pay per view.
Yeah, who does he defend it against?
I'll tell you later.
Okay, but no, we get near the end, and Al eventually goes for what we expect him to go for.
Mm-hmm.
He battles Regal,
mm-hmm.
or is it Saturn?
Well,
he batters one of them with the head,
mm-hmm.
and he goes for the... No, he batters Saturn.
It may have been Saturn, yeah.
Yeah, he smacks Saturn with head, goes for the pin,
mm-hmm.
and then Regal just drags him off him, sticks him in the Regal stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Al doesn't tap so much, he just kind of flap his hat and going, yeah, I give.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst Regal's doing a great impression of John Cena. Tap!
They do hit some big spots on Regal, like Al and Perry, when then they pull each other off the pins, and then they do try and double team for a bit, and then before immediately turning each other.
Yeah.
Al gets hit with the Tiger suplex at one point, and as you said, it's Perry that gets hit with head, and then Regal stretch, Regal a very quick win.
Yeah, and then just gets out and
mm-hmm.
that's him good.
I like when I see him coming out and he's red boots and he's red knee pads, he's red... That's the action figure of William Regal that I had.
Like, I had that version.
Mm-hmm. Like when I see that, like Eddie with like this old like, you know, heat t-shirt he used to wear when he was with China, like, because I remember that's the Eddie Guerrero figure I have and everything.
Yeah.
We go backstage where JR is trying to talk to Austin while he's pacing back and forth. And he's like, he's trying to tell how he did for people. I tell you, there's no damn excuse that he, like, Rikishi says he did it for this. Like, there's no excuse Rikishi can run for running me over. And, like, JR's trying to be reasonable with, and try to get Austin to be reasonable about this and try and talk him, calm him down a wee bit. So, this interview then from this point on gets interspliced with clips of Rikishi out in the parking lot with a sledgehammer.
Good word. Interspliced.
Thank you. Gives you a sledgehammer, basically smashing up Austin's not just smashed them in, but he's banging on the side, causing dents and everything.
Yeah, he's doing a bit that I found quite funny when he was... He'd smashed in the side window, he'd smashed in the front window, and then he went to smash the bonnet, and the bloody hammer kept bouncing off the bonnet, so he just went round the side and hit it and went, good, I've made a dent there now. And then he goes into the car, and he takes the booze out.
Aye, he pours the cooler.
The thing I don't get, though, if he really wanted to show he was a prick, instead of pouring the lager out on the flare, sure, took a swig and then threw it in, no, just pulled it out in the flare and then tossed the can half full into the car. Dick. How can you be a heel if you're not having a beer?
Well, that's what makes him a heel, like you're annoyed him for not having a beer. There you go, so now he's a good heel.
Do you know, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because Austin's a face and he drinks the beer.
Aye, see?
See? I'm getting it.
Yeah, you're thinking, see? This is the only things this is what you think of when you're sober.
Wow. This is nice. Sobriety.
It's a trick. And it keeps going on for a bit. This like extends like how much more damage can you fucking do? Like, I think he's obviously waiting for Austin to come out, and then like you got JR and Cole like, somebody tell Austin like for who's he doing his trip. Eventually, Coates comes in and tells him, and Austin sprints it to. Kushi with JR and Hot Pursuit like, trying to make sure he doesn't do anything you'll regret. And then literally there's a car parked behind
Austin's truck. Car.
And so and then as soon as he comes out, you hear JR, oh god, look what he's done to your truck. And he's destroyed your truck. And then immediately quite quickly, as soon as they get out, that car speeds off, so you're made to assume that Rikishi's
run off.
He's inside the car.
So Austin jumps in the pickup.
He may have damaged it, but the thing still fucking works the way he chases out him.
He still goes to drive that pickup out of the parking lot with a smashed windscreen.
He drives it and goes, JR, it could be a trap, it could be a trap, see. Damn, he's stubborn.
And then we realise, tis a trap.
Tis a
but
trap.
But not for Stone Cold. It is a trap, and this is a dastardly fucking thing.
Yeah.
The only proper heelish thing that Rikishi does, he's like, yeah, Austin's your buddy. Where's your buddy now?
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to hook JR right in the fucking gut, and JR falls down like he's been shot, you know? And his only movement in this whole section is to flick his leg a little bit to go, ah, I'm hurted, you know? And then Rikishi's like, I mean, I'll show you. And he's standing there with the sledgehammer over JR. And he's like, and then all of a sudden Mick comes out and he's like, Rikishi, stop. Don't do it. Don't. You want no holds barred and no mercy? You got it? Don't do anything you regret. Put the sledgehammer down. And Rikishi's kind of like, you're like, all right. And he throws it in and he's like, no mercy. And then he wanders off and like fucking Mick like, you all right? You all right? You good? I know that big bastard just punched you one, but you all right? You good, man? We don't find out if he's good or not. You just get Mick kind of leaning over him going, are you okay?
I think he also said, like, oh, you ain't talking this now. Like, you got a lot to say on Monday. Like, I think he was telling like, that damn son of a bitch for Keisha and all that. Like, you're going to give what's coming to him then.
Where's your buddy now,
huh? And, you know, we'll talk now. Like, oh, calm down. Easy now. No,
don't do something you regret now. Boom.
Because then, like, I wonder, like, it was fully late in his bet. Because he was standing over at JR for what felt like an eternity with that sledgehammer. Like, either, I don't wouldn't like you hit JR, but at this point, either do it or don't fucking do it. Just come on. Commit, damn it.
Commit, you prick.
So, JR and they're like, gangs also, like, worry about JR. And then they're like, wait, Austin, he's just now, he doesn't even know what's going on. And then, Jesus, after a big angle, like something actually makes me interested to see what happens in No Mercy and everything. How do you bring your raid? How do you bring your interest level down? Well, I know. Let's watch the Road Dogg have a match.
With Raven.
You mean Raisin?
Yeah.
What about Raisin?
What about Raisin?
But someone even has, you know, there are even people with signs saying, what about Raisin?
Yeah, Road Dogg comes out doing his usual shtick.
I can't really explain it. Well, maybe it's just, I don't find the most compelling of time to actually in ring, but like, I can see why people like do give him reactions still, but like when I watch Road Dogg here, I'm like, whenever I have to watch these matches for the show and I'm making notes for it, like I just can't muster up the strength to probably pay attention enough to make notes for it, because like I just find his matches so uninteresting.
I'll be honest with, perfectly honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst that match was on, I was in between scanning my Facebook. You know what I mean?
I don't blame you.
I was looking at the important parts
mm-hmm.
and looking at my phone the rest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the important part for me was, and it wasn't Road Dogg's entrance, because I'd done work without Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
You know, but looking at Raven's entrance, because I always thought at that point he looked cool as fuck, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He looked how I wanted to look at the time, you know what I mean? And he comes in and does his thing. We have a back and forth and matches, maybe, what, like 5 minutes?
If that. The most notable thing I made note of is the fact that Raven is wearing a Marvel Inhumans t-shirt.
Is that what he's wearing?
Yeah. They were very obscure for 2000. They become more known because Marvel tried and failed to do a TV series with the Inhumans, and it was boring.
Mm.
Because someone's ego tried to say, you should do a film, but they said, we don't want to do a film. But I had to do a TV series. All right, then. And TV series was shit, and Marvel probably thought, this is why we didn't want to do a movie.
This is the reason.
Because it was shit. But no,
like, a short 4 or 5 minute match, Road Dogg wins, ipso facto done.
Yeah. I just put here, shite dog dance.
Oh, shite dog dance.
Yeah, because he does his wee dance thing, his wee shimmy where he does his like knee drop or whatever.
Shake, rattle, and roll.
The commentary couldn't give a shit here, because all they're talking about is what happened with Rikishi just a minute ago.
Yeah. That's when you know you're kind of on that level, you know what I mean?
Raven does a Russian leg sweep into the barricade. Is he got a really unique leg submission thing, where he's kind of wrenching back and bending.
Yeah, that looks back. Cool. That looks pretty cool.
Really unique. But then there's a weird character, sunset flip into the pump handle slam. Raven lost, which was the wrong result here.
Yeah.
He's like,
oh. How you expected to build a guy if you have him lose to to the Road Dogg?
Because, like, it just doesn't make any sense just to have having this match in front, and then, like, what does it do for Road Dogg to win? What does it do for Raven at all? You know?
Well, maybe Vince's mind wasn't on the job.
You think?
Or maybe it was on the wrong job.
Yeah. The less said about that, the better.
Yeah.
Cut backstage to Stephanie and Kurt. And Stephanie's like, Kurt, what exactly are you trying to say? Like, well, you know, Stephanie, I just have my concerns, you know, about you being out there, so.
I mean, what if you get hurt? And also, I mean, if it comes down to a situation between me and Triple H.
Yeah.
How are you going to be? And she's like, Kurt, don't worry. I'm out there. I'm professional. I have a business arrangement. She's like, if it comes to a situation between you and Hunter, I'll do the right thing.
Yeah.
And he's, for a minute, he's like, yeah, cool. And then he's like, looking as if to say, well, what is the right thing?
He's like, oh, I knew. I figured you'd say that. What am I worrying about? And he's like, yeah, he just smells and he's like, wait, what?
Wait a minute. What is the right thing?
It's like a woman to choose between a client and a husband. Because before he was saying, like, you know, there's people out there who have no regard for your well-being, you know, like The Rock and Chris Benoit.
Mm.
So very much he's trying to be a more polite way of Triple H's, I don't want you at ringside.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says, and she's trying to shut that down. He's like, I'm with you because Triple H wouldn't let me at bloody ringside.
Anyway, so I'm throwing a huff.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a replay of the shenanigans we saw earlier on. I mean, shenanigans is a light way of putting it, but what happened with Austin and Rikishi and the whole thing with JR?
Yeah, and that, a little recap of that ruse you played on him.
And they do bring up a question, which will be a big thing coming out of No Mercy for at least a couple of weeks into Survivor Series, where, like, oh, but who was driving that car? Who is Rikishi's mystery accomplice?
Mm.
And that'll be the question coming out of No Mercy, because after No Mercy, the Sunday side, well, Rikishi did do it, but now we're going to change why he did it. He has an accomplice, and the accomplice told Rikishi to do it. So who was that? And then Austin goes on the hunt. And there's another person who you must target.
You must beat up.
And then you reveal the person who told Rikishi to do it, and you're thinking, why don't you just have him be the person that you ran over in the first place?
Oh, it would have made more sense.
But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But then, cuts back to Christian, X-Pac, and Christian Edge and X-Pac, and they're all just yicking up and laughing at...
Going, ha ha ha!
We
are the best. Ha 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 ha! And if I can, you know, cut the dead wood out of this review we're getting to this match, because quite honestly, I could do without this match. We get to them, as you say, yucking it up and giving it, oh, look what happened to JR. Like, oh, ha, 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 Rikishi's cool, you know? And they're all like, oh, well, we're just going out there, we're going to handle the Hardys and all that.
Yeah, we give that two thumbs up. yeah, JR Show totally sucks.
Yeah.
And like, we're going to dedicate this match, and all the money we make from this match will go to the fund towards cleaning JR's drawers.
The best, I've got to say before we get into it, the best part of this match is the end sequence of this match.
And then Xbox, you know, really up to date with these references, like, man, you see the way Austin spit out of there? I haven't seen a redneck dry left out since they took Dukes of Hazzard off the air. And they're laughing at their own jokes, so you know it must be funny.
Oh, totally, totally. I mean, they're all having a whale of a time. No yeah. one else is.
I mean, I didn't really mind this match as much as you did, the Hardys and Chris Jericho against Edge and Christian in the next spot.
It's just the thing with this match, I've got to say, right, when you've seen one Hardys, Edge and Christian match, you've seen all of the Hardys, Edge and Christian matches. You know, it gets a little stale after a while. It's the same shit every time. Poetry in motion. Blah, blah, blah. Jeff Hardy does something to fuck himself up. Matt's a little slow on occasion. Edge and Christian are pricks. Yep. So on and so forth.
Yeah, but we do cut midway through this match to Austin speeding back into the... His beer can's still all over the place. No one's come to clean this up yet.
No, it's no one's prerogative, you know. It's no one's job.
I'm sure the arena has cleaners. I'm sure the parking lot falls under their prerogative.
Maybe they're not supposed to clean during business hours.
During business hours. But you speed back in. One day he finds out what happened to JR when he went away. I do like, again, X-Pac key firmly here. It starts with Jericho and Edge right here. Like, chops in the corner, he's open and everything, all the way to the crowd. X-Pac sucks! Yeah. X-Pac, he's not even doing anything. And that's what he's probably like, I've not done nothing yet. Yeah, but your Dukes of Hazzard joke was shit. Boo! Boo this man.
Yeah, he really is at that level of, you know what, fuck you, little man. You had your chance.
X-Pac does come in at points to try and get at Jericho and immediately runs away. Jericho joins in on the whole poetry in motion. It looks shit. Jeff is on a rare occasion, the one gets worked over after X-Pac just comes in behind the rest pack and just hoofs him with a kick to the balls. I just put here karate kicks. Because X-Pac does these kicks, he goes, oh, you know, and martial arts background of X-Pac, and X-Pac does the whole thing that he does.
Yeah, he does his version of Steve Black. He does his version of a Steve Blackman fan looking kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can do it too, Steve. Look, yo, look. And Steve's like, no, you can't. You can't. Go and stand in the corner and think about what you did.
Jericho catches X-Pac with a powerbomb that Michael Cole accidentally calls a spinebuster and has to correct himself.
Spinebuster powerbomb.
Yeah. He said spinebuster powerbomb because you can tell right in the middle of that. Powerbomb. Goes for the lion salt. X-Pac gets his knees up and then the match breaks down. Edge is trying to bring a bloody chair in and then glass shit breaks. Everyone's going fucking mental. Even the Hardys, you know, they didn't do nothing, just chairs for everybody.
Like I say, that was the best part of the match.
No protection, just skull and steel for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Old school style.
But hey, Tim White takes a shoe in. But a Sergeant Slaughter just randomly pops up. He takes a stunner. And the crowd go yay as Austin walks away.
Yep.
And I'm interested to see what happens with Austin's reactions as the months go on, because when Austin chose to turn heel at Mania X7, he said he felt like he was a bit cold as a character, like the crowd reaction wasn't as big for him. And going into Mania, that had been, yeah, you see it here, especially when the glass shot, even though there's got Jericho and the Hardys to the fans here for, when Austin came in and you knew they were probably going to get beat up as well, the fans were like, yes, we're in for this.
Yeah.
They're all hyped for this. The pop was immense.
So you think he was a little stupid in that decision or that mindset?
Well, I don't know. I'm interested to see if the horizon does go down in the months ahead. Well, you know.
Oh, you're interested to see if he's right on that?
Yeah, see if it... Because we've got about 5 or so months between now and WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, I hardly think any of the reactions will be as bad as Candice LeRae's reaction when she came out at number 4 in the Women's Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
That was sad for that poor girl.
Well, she was sandwiched between, buddy, I mean, forget Natalya at number 1, but she was sandwiched between, like,
Bailey.
Like, Naomi return, Bailey, and then Jordan Grace on the other side, so.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, the poison pixie really wasn't much.
As I say, like, you know. I was joking with my brother via WhatsApp, we were watching our separate houses, like, oh, really? And Candice LeRae is here to bring us all back down to earth again after the next episode.
After fucking Bailey. No, after Naomi, Bailey. Oh, it's Candice.
Oh, Jordan Grace.
Yay.
Oh, and now we had to bring it down with your Ivy Niles and such, well, and your Indy Hartwells.
It was kind of like with that one, it was like, oh, Natalya, cool, yay, no one really likes her anyway, Natalya. Fuck, Naomi, yay! Oh, cool, Bailey. Oh, it's Candice, yay.
People keep telling me, or I keep seeing WWE people saying, like, oh, Natalya's got either, at one point she had the most, but I think she may have one of the most, because we've got people like Bailey who are setting records and have been in other Rumbles. Like, she was one of the most accumulative times in women's Rumbles, because she's been in all of them, like, yeah, but I still find it hard to believe whenever they tell me, like, because she doesn't do anything.
No, she doesn't.
She's one of the rare occasions of someone who spends so long in a Rumble without doing it. I don't know the male equivalent of being so long in a Rumble and not doing anything. well, not in accumulative Rumbles. I can think of ones in individual Rumbles, like when Road Dogg came in the 2000 Rumble, I'm like, I'm just going to hug onto this top rope for ages.
Yeah.
And do nothing.
He did do that, but he still got thrown out anyway.
Anyway, let me cut backstage to the Rock being interviewed by Kevin Kelly, and The Rock does his best to try and, you know, reference his part in this whole Austin thing, try and work your way back to you. Come on, to the very people. Remember, the main event, me and Angle, this is something you should be caring about. And I think he does it quite well here. Where he's like, you know, The Rock's with hell on his mind. He just found out it was Rikishi who ran over Stone Cold Steve Austin. But through it all, there's a one man to help The Rock snap out of it. And that's you, Kurt Angle. You kept The Rock. You think because you become the number one contender, you think because you cashed in on the services of a Stephanie McMahon, a $5, no, $2, no, 5-2, get one free. Does anyone have change for a quarter? Or a nickel, sorry. Then he said something, but they bleep it out, but I can kind of guess what he said. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a few opponents to go through the last month. I had Kane, who comes out here and goes, I am the big red monster. Yeah, doing that something the way he does to be the big slow. Like, and then I got Chris Benoit, and then he goes, just prove me wrong. And then I gotta face a man who goes, and he just turns to the camera and goes, drinking milk, yeah, it'll spill up your bones. Milk's filled with calcium. You know, I'm gonna, let me tell you what's gonna happen at the No Mercy and Alliance, as you can understand. Well, Kurt, in this match, many moves are going to be thrown. A close-up, an arm drag. But The Rock's got a special move, just for you. And then so he's yelling, all who knows what's happening, like, oh, God, what is it? You know, The Rock's going to take his boot and put it horizontal or sideways, just how you like it, or so The Rock is hurt. Now turn it and stick it straight up your candy ass. So, Kurt, bring your three eyes. Stephanie, bring your dirty pants. Well, just bring it if you smell and all that.
And all that way he does.
Yes. Then we cut back stage. Apparently, we've got a women's title match, apparently.
Yeah, we didn't, though. We had a bit of stupidness followed by a bit of DQ shit.
Well, I said to you before we recorded, like, we have two more matches, or one if you can even, one of them you can even call a match.
So this can is, we just can we one, get to the end of this one, then?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a thing on the network, the chapters, where it says the match, which everybody wins the entrance, and this is finish of match. Honestly, if you clicked up, if you were on one and you clicked to the other, you'd probably move about a minuscule amount,
yeah.
I'd imagine. But the Christian has come out with a dictionary, to which Cheryl Lawler goes, she can read? Like, fuck's sake, dear. And she's reading out the dictionary definition of a champion. You know. For her first prize or first place, someone who's an advocate or fights for something, or all qualities that clearly I possess. Lita. Lita's in the dictionary. Someone who wears her panties way too high. And someone who is just nothing more than a low-class bimbo. And then Gerald Law won't stop calling her a bimbo for the rest of this match. And he goes, well, I think we can all agree that this is an accurate description. And Leah comes and goes, oh, really, then? And then Trish proceeds to get very little offense, and as Leah picks her up, buddy lands her down with a sidewalk slam, goes for an immediate moonsault to try and put this away. And then out comes TNA. One of them distracts the ref while Alvar just shoves Leah off the top. Trish tries to pin her, and if she'd won, that would be what we call the Yokozuna finish.
Yeah.
And then you fall off, and that's apparently enough to win. But no, she kicks out, and then Albert gets in the ring. That's not enough for a DQ. One point, Tess grabs Lita to hold her back to get her face slapped, everything. it's you who manages to low blow him. And that's not enough for a DQ. But then she dies off the top and Tess Kelger immediately with a very sore looking power bomb as she comes down. That's when the referee draws the line. Like, what did you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen, referee? And then they say, oh, Leah's in a real troubled position here. You know, she, the Hardys aren't here. They're only recovering from getting attacked by Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then Leah's left prone. It's 3-on-2. Well, luckily, the EPA come out to chase them, chase the bad guys away. Because there was a sign there, though, if you noticed, the, like it says, Trish Wyatt plays some poker. There's reference to the whole thing with the Acolytes and the EPA, and Acolytes and the... And TNA, yes. Different abbreviations. All everyone's just letters nowadays.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Basically, they were playing poker on Sunday. TNA lost all of their money, and because Albert is shit, because Tess put the blame on Albert. Trish came in, and basically they went every time TNA lost a hand, Trish had to remove clothing, and before Trish could see what they wanted to see, TNA just jumped them anyway. Why didn't you do that before the game started? I don't know. Just or just be better at poker. There you go. A feud. Based around the game of poker.
Yep. That's how that kind of mid-card thing happened back then.
Stephanie is backstage having a similar conversation with Triple H that we just saw her have with Angle.
Yep.
But he's a bit more like, you know, I thought we already discussed this. I do not want you at ringside. I understand about what you want. I made a business decision to be in Curse Score. Fine. He goes to Triple H, just remember who you're going home with later. She's like, don't worry. She says that. Like, that's like I said to Kurt. It comes down to it, I will make do
the right thing.
And then she turns us back like,
Not just that's the same as Kurt. He's like, wait a minute.
Not just because she said that. I think she also, like I said to Kurt, like, you've been talking to Kurt. What you say to Kurt Angle? Are you going to choose Kurt Angle over me? I already shut that down in our creative meetings, you. He's a nerd. No one would believe that, according to me, Triple H.
Yeah.
Now we have the Four Corners match. The Fatal 4-Way with tags, but it's not a tag match, but it's like a 4-way with tags.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. So it's the Rock and Benoit that started off because apparently there was a mystical coin tossed. Can't talk right now.
I'm so aggrieved by the whole concept of the match.
Yes, the coin toss. The fictional coin toss is a bit as real as that tournament Pat Patterson won to become the first Intercontinental Champion. Angle does want in, but only when the Rock's down because there's a point where you like. Benoit's going down, he's like, come on, tag me. And Benoit says no. And then as soon as Rock gets out, Angle looks all afraid and little Rock even grabs Benoit's hand and goes, go on, Kurt.
Yeah,
go
he's,
on.
Like, he's like, go on.
Go on, I dare you, go on.
Yeah.
He's been in there, but then as the Rock's beating down Benoit after hitting him with a DDT, Triple H looks at him like, I want Benoit. And then Rock's like, ah, fuck it, you can have Benoit because Triple H wants a piece of him. And then he returns the favor later on when Angle comes in and goes, hey, Rock, you want Angle? I'll give you Angle. And you go. Then Angle doesn't manage to get to work with a big belly-to-belly overhead suplex. And then at the point where he tags in Triple H, but before he goes back to the ATC, he takes both The Rock and Triple H. So he's sitting there on the opening line, go on, fight him, fight. They look at each other like, nah, fuck this. And just they drag Kurt back in. So they be ended. And then I put here, they go to the outside. Rock and Triple H have another dick measuring contest.
Oh, yes.
Because you remember the tag team match, like, I slam his head into the announce table. Well, I slam his head into the announce table. Well, I did it better. No, I did.
Yeah.
They do it better this time, it's on the steps. And then the Rock and Triple H start to follow, but like, okay then, Nightmare, Mr. Nice Guy, let's you and me fight. Because they start breaking up finishers at this point. This is when match starts getting interesting.
The Rock and LA Knight did that very thing recently. You know, they're competing with the head smashers.
Yes.
Yeah, that was at the Rumble, wasn't it?
Well, I think LA Knight just did it himself, but he was doing it to him with the crowd going, yeah. It reminds me of a thing where, like, we went up to Scott Hall Austin at Mania X8, where he's stomping on the boots into a hole on SmackDown, and we're going, what? He goes, every time these people chant, what, I'm going to keep kicking him. They go, what? He goes, that stomp, and he goes, I'd keep going, but I don't want to wear a perfectly good pair of shoes.
Good old school shit.
Yeah. So, Triple H takes a bunch of finishers as well, like, takes an angle slam, somebody breaks in, takes a people's elbow, something comes in, and then takes a diving headbutt at one point. You know, The Rock tries to go for the cover, but Stephanie pulls Rock off. Angle does steal the win, though, because Rock's on the outside. He's looking at Steph like you, and then gets into it with Ben on the outside. The Angle sneaks in to steal the win. And, you know, they return to Triple H for taking pretty much everyone's move. But then Stephanie's kind of like, oh, I thought I was doing the right thing by saving Triple H from winning, but then now my client has pinned my husband. Did I really do the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
And the commentators are all like, did Stephanie do the right thing? Is this her choice? Did she choose to help Kurt Angle? Or was this just an accident? Oh dear. Drama.
Drama.
Ooh. Sorry. Benoit attacks Triple H after the match. He locks in a crossface while The Rock locks in a sharpshooter on Angle. And then The Rock randomly just gets put in the crossface by Benoit as the SmackDown goes off the air, because Benoit still hasn't let go of the fact he's lost to The Rock multiple times.
Yeah.
Stop torturing yourself, Benoit. You're not going to beat him. Live in the now. He looks over at the title and goes, it will be mine. Oh, yes. It will be mine.
Eventually.
And technically it'll be a different belt. Well, while I pull up the No Mercy card, why don't you tell us what your summary would be, your final thoughts, and what thing you would recommend of this show? You could recommend one thing.
Well, my thumb rating for the show would be a general thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a bad show. I will agree with you, the worst match on the show was the Road Dogg Raven match. I have nothing personally against Road Dogg or Raven, it's just it was a shit match.
Yeah.
Wasn't given the time, probably wasn't planned out very well.
Mm-hmm.
Best match on the card for me probably would be the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I would take away from it, I do often complain about the storyline crap in this era.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the storyline crap between Stephanie and Triple H and Angle at the minute, you know, the whole, I'll do the right thing. And then, as you say, at the main event match, not only did she kind of help Kurt, at the same time she helped Triple H at one point during the match, so you're kind of like...
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the fuck is she thinking? Is she thinking she's helping them? Is she not helping them? What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it was a lot of takeaway from that episode.
Yeah. So I think my favorite match I'd probably recommend would also be the main event. Maybe I'd also recommend the Austin angle to show, like, look, they tried with Rikishi. They really did. If you're interested in that kind of thing.
What did he do so wrong?
Mm-hmm. Like, and maybe the European title match.
That was good because it was a good showcase of William Regal.
Yeah, and the European title and what it kind of could be, but that was a match in like 1.5 speed they were playing that on.
I could say, though, that match would probably be a lot better if it had just been a straightforward rematch between Al Snow and Regal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take away the Perry Saturn element and make it a solid Regal v Al Snow match.
Yeah. Well, like if you're watching a remote and then you click the remote or whatever and you put it on 1.5Z, that's what that match was.
It was every spot. It was like,
yeah,
you know.
And like I said, the main thing was good to me. I watched this. I'm like, why is this better than the four way you put on pay per view a month ago that also had Benoit and The Rock in it? I mean, people are probably. I imagine there'd be some people watching this like on for free on TV back in the day and like. I paid money for that Unforgiven. Why is this four-way so much better? And it's like half the time as well.
Yeah.
But I'd give it a general thumbs up. Nothing
stood out. Nothing spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already looking forward to No Mercy and everything.
Yeah.
I see, again, with Raw and with this, they're really trying to give Rikishi something. Like, the idea that he's trying to outsmart Austin. He's in Austin's head. So, maybe he could, but he's not gonna, but he could beat Austin.
Do you know, in a different fucking scenario, there's every chance he could have pushed Rikishi proper, you know what I mean? But he just, I think in a certain sense, he dropped the ball with him.
Oh yeah, and in many senses, they dropped the ball with him.
You know, because he could have been, like you say, that big mean Samoan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see if we had him go back to something, remember when he was like Rikishi, he was like, Kishi for the streets, you know, his new gen.
Yeah, make a difference, Fatu.
Make a difference, Fatu. Save with the two elements from that character, but made it heel.
Mm-hmm.
That might have worked better with Rikishi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the street thug kind of Simone.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been elements of like later Amaga, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or kind of like Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a street thug Simone kind of thing. If we'd have done that, especially in that era, it would have totally fucking slammed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And then he rocks in these big leather matching pants and tracksuit thing that he comes bringing a sledgehammer now, and then he went like, maybe the guy who we reveal as your accomplice will make that much more of a compelling thing, weapon of choice. But big ticky through No Mercy here. So also we got The Rock versus Kurt Angle for the WWF title. We got Triple H and Benoit, and we got Steve Austin and Rikishi. That's our three, not really bill as a triple or double main event, but those are your pretty much your three main event matches. You also got Los Conquistadors and the Hardys with the tag team titles. We have Chris Jericho and X-Pac inside a steel cage. Why is it in a cage? Because, fuck it, that's why. We have the replacement for what would be the what was going to be the Billy Gunn Eddie Guerrero match is now China and Billy Gunn versus Dean Richards and Val Venus of the Right to Censor.
Why is that? Why has that been changed?
Well, remember because Eddie's hurt.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you know, is that a good replacement? That's up to you. We have the APA and Lita will now face Trish and TNA in a six-person tag.
Mm-hmm.
And then these two next matches, I'm pretty sure they say on the paper these were made on Heat randomly. So instead of getting a rematch of like Regal versus Saturn or Regal versus Al or maybe a version of that triple threat on the pay-per-view, we have William Regal defending his newly won European Championship against Naked Midian.
Okay.
Your guess is as good as mine. And we're going to open the pay-per-view with a Dudley's Invitational Tables match. So basically, it's a gauntlet match where you're eliminated. Once you get put through a table, then the next team comes down. So it's a gauntlet match with tables. So obviously the Dudleys are in it, because it'd be weird if they weren't. We have Taz and Raven, Too Cool, Bill Buchanan and the Godfather, and Lowdown.
Ooh.
Just a myriad of top contenders to take on the Dudleys there.
Totally. I'm pulling for Lowdown.
You got Too Cool, former tag team champions, and some other guys.
Lowdown, man. Lowdown. Yeah.
They're called Lowdown because they're low down on the card.
One of them is one half of the former tag team champions.
Yes, and the other
you forget it.
The other is a former Eurocontinental champion.
Hell yes. That's Eurocontinental Tag Team Championship material right there, man. Yeah.
Yes.
That'd be a good title to have Eurocontinental Tag Team Champions of the World.
That would make absolutely no fucking sense at all, though, as a championship.
Eurocontinental Tag Team Championships of the Heavyweight World, man.
Easy for you to say.
It wasn't.
Imagine the guy who's got to fucking make the belt and put the words in. What is it? The Eurocontinental Tag Team Heavyweight Champions of the goddamn world. Like,
put more words in it.
I had to move it onto the side plates. I'm running out of space over here.
Hire Vince Russo and make it lame and gay.
Yes, we have No Mercy coming up next episode. We're going to try and get a special guest in, as we try to do. We have done for SummerSlam and Unforgiven in the past. And it's always good fun to bring in a third party to just talk about this and for us to inform them, like, oh yes, did you know that we just this random thing happened? And we're like, what the hell, why did that happen? Like, we don't know. We asked why as well. So I'm interested in the DMs there. So make sure to follow Rogue Retro SmackDown and everything going on with @Rogue_opinions. Like, follow me and Paul on our other show @ScottandPaul @SPRambling on Twitter.
We're wonderful.
Facebook.com/RamblingPodcast. Keep up with everything I'm doing at Rogue Things too, like I said, Rogue and Squarespace and Podname Easy Twitter account. I believe it's @PodnameEasy on Twitter. It's also known as Team Godfather, me and Carl. We had Carl on before for SummerSlam. I'm sure we'll have Carl back on again another time.
Carl.
We're trying some new stuff with new feeds here on Rogue Opinions and new stuff. Me and Paul have episodes about the Rumble, TNA. We have stuff about Frasier.
TNA, and Frasier.
Yes, we have some. We also have some older wrestling stuff. We enjoy. Some good, some not so good. We don't. I mentioned the name. Don't look at me like that.
Never speak of it again. Never again. It killed my very soul.
So make sure to check all that on the social media lines out, and make sure to follow us everywhere you get your podcast: Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Podbean. But the Podbean and Easy Feed is on Spotify just for now. We'll hopefully get to other feeds fairly soon. But just look, take Podbean and Easy 1D, not 2, and you'll find that we got a swanky new logo and everything.
And try and think of the funky podcast that we did that gave me PTSD. It's a WCW one.
You've been following us for long enough. Hopefully you know it, but hopefully you saved yourself this year. And I think we should play it, even though you kind of slide off earlier, we should play it out with William Regal's current music. It's doo 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 doo.
I did not slag it off.
It's a little fanfare music.
I thought it was good. I did not slag it off.
You did.
I did not.
You did.
I did not. Granted, my favourite is music of Regal's is his final music he had when he was active.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that grandiose kind of shit he had.
Yeah, and not the music that tells you that he's a man, such a man.
Yeah, well, that was hilarious. I watched that on YouTube when he was coming out to his, mm-hmm. you know, his ominous song, and then that came on, and he just looked at him and said, "Oh, yeah, bastards.
Oh, you slimes. Oh, got me."
Considering the grin on Daniel Bryan's face, do you think it was his idea, or do you think it was someone in the back's idea? Or do you think he knew it?
I think he at least knew about it, yeah.
He's like, "Oh, we caught you, caught you."
Anyway, until next time, when we have No Mercy, where you have Rikishi trying to redeem any kind of main event push against Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Rikishi trying to be a bad man.
Bad man.
Be a bad man, because he did that for The Rock.
Yeah. We do this for you. Bye-bye.
Bye.